This morning, I want to continue our series of messages entitled Living by Divine Design. God has a design. God has a plan for every person's life. And that ought to be enough to get every one of us excited to know that God has a plan for your life. He has a design for you to follow. And the Bible defines success so differently than the world defines success. And so, in the next several weeks, as we're going to look at God's divine design for our lives under the acrostic design, as we did our introduction last week. Here, we get into the actual acrostic that will spell out the six principles that God has given us in His Word about how that you can discover God's purpose for your life and live by divine design. The first acrostic starts with D, as it tells us to be able to determine your necessities. It's about determining your necessities. And so you determine the values that are important to you and bring your life into harmony with those values. And so the first acrostic of spelling out the six principles about what we do with the design of our life, the divine design, is determine your necessities. Now, as we take that first letter D and we tell you the first step into following God's design for your life, it's all about determining your necessities. Determine the values that matter most and then evaluate your life and bring it into harmony with what you believe is important. The emphasis on priorities are our necessities is about determining your values. Trust the Lord with all your heart, not just with your heart, but with all of your heart. And Jesus said, as He tells us in the Scriptures, take your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. This is September the 30th, 2007, the 18th of Tishri, 5768 of the Hebrew calendar. As we start out with Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and verse 34. The Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And then in Proverbs chapter 3, starting with verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not unto thy own understanding. Verse 6, and in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths to humility. And be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And so as we look of how that we're to be able to determine our necessities, amen. I'm glad that as we look and realize how important that is, because every one of us, as we look at the Scripture, the foundation upon which the design of God is based is integrity. And we define integrity as our standard of values. If you're a Christian, those are values that are based upon the Word of God. God has a design. He has a plan for all of our lives. And one of the problems that we have today is that people are allowing other people to set the standard of values. They're allowing the entertainment industry or their peers or many other sources, maybe the educational world, to decide what their values will be, to press those values upon each and every one of us. But the Bible teaches it that it's our responsibility as individuals before God for each one of us to determine the values that are going that we are going to live by and the values that are important to us. You say, well, why spend an entire message on determining values? Well, as you look about us today, you see the answer as the political world is focused on values. Already we're hearing the themes of the values of family values, standards of values, and we're seeing the character coming to the forefront again and again. And so the great development, I believe that our country needs to focus on the values that we need and what our standard of values is all about. And so each and every one of us, we need to bring our lives in front with the values that we say are important to us. And so number one, the worth of our values. We see, first of all, the significance of our values, because it told us, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not unto thy own understanding. Your values will be determined by your trust in the Lord. And your values will determine three things. Number one, it'll determine your stress in life. The Bible says in James 1:8 that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Now, you know, what does that mean? It means that a person, for example, who says that family is important and yet they don't spend time with their children, we're told that the average father spends about 5 minutes per day one-on-one with their children, and yet we say that family is important. We say that after our commitment to God that our family is most important. And if that is true, if that is a part of our value system, then our life ought to show that as well. It affects the stress, because when you live your life out of harmony with what you say is important, what you say that your values are, it will always bring stress into your life. You know, the most miserable person is not a person who is not a Christian. Many people seem to think that unsaved people are all unhappy. People who are not believers in Christ are the ones that are miserable. But that's, you know, that's not true at all. There are many people who don't believe in Christ who are well-adjusted people. And of course, their eternity will not change. They may live a well-adjusted life now, but they need to take a long look, because they are not necessarily unhappy. You know, the most unhappy person, listen, what I'm fixing to tell you, is a person who says that he is a Christian, who says that he or she wants to live by the standards of the Word of God, that the Bible is important, and that what the Bible says is the most important thing to him or her, and yet he or she lives their lives by the standards of the world rather than by the standards of the Word of God. And because of that, there's more stress in their lives than there is in anybody else's. And so your standard of values, the values that you live by, will affect your stress life and the stress factor. Secondly, they will influence your success. Look at what it says about your heart and your affections in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, above all else, guard your affections, for they influence everything else in your life. Now, he's talking about the things that are really important to you, not the things that you say are important, but the things that are really important to you. Whatever is important to you is going to be that you place the most emphasis on, and therefore, it's going to affect your success. And so it's going to influence you. Of all the things that we see as you go through your daily life to achieve those goals that are important to you. And then number three, your values are important because they affect your salvation. We look at what Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? What is he saying? He's saying that a man can be outwardly successful, but he can be inwardly a failure. And he can have everything that the world can give on the outside and be spiritually bankrupt on the inside. And because the values that he lives by are not the values that he says he believes. And so he points out, what good is it to gain the whole world and lose your soul? And so number one, we realize each and every one of us as we go through life that we need to bring our lives in line with the values that are important to us. Amen. And so each and every one of us, as we look and realize what God wants best for us, is that we see that the worth of your values that we were talking about a while ago, we see that the prophet, as we look and realize that the worth of our values, but secondly, the cause of our values, the cause of our values. And so each and every one of us, as we go through life and begin to realize some of the most important values, as we talked about the significance of our values, amen. But here we see the cause of our values, amen. Each and every one of us, as what the Lord wants to do, is that the worth of our values and the cause of our values. And really, when you look at the cause of values, you're going to find two options. You're going to find that you're going to live by the values of the Word, or you're going to live by the values of the world. It's the Word or it's the world. It can't be both. You have to make a choice of which way you're going to take your values. And 1 John chapter 2, verses 15, 16, 17 tells us, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eye of his eyes, and the boastings of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Now, there's a sharp contrast between the Word and the world. When God says, don't love the world, he's not talking about people. Some Christians love souls. They just hate, they hate people. We need to be careful that we love people, and we don't have to love what they do. We don't have to love their sin, but we are to love people. And the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He was talking about the world of people. And here, when he says, love not the world, he means the world system of values, how the world esteems things out there, material things. He's saying there's a system of values that operates in our cosmos. The word for world there is cosmos in the Greek. And it's talking about the way the world values things and the way the world prizes things. Basically, he mentions three things that determine the world's value. And he says, don't love the world's value system. He's saying, don't love and value life based on possessions. Don't love and value life based on pleasure. Don't love and value life based on position. First of all, when he talks about the world, he's talking about valuing life on the basis of pleasure. In Luke chapter 8, verse 14, Jesus is talking about how people hear the word of God, but they don't respond to the word of God. Says, by the pleasures of living, life is choked out of them and they produce nothing. In other words, he's talking about someone who hears the truth of the word of God, but then, when he realizes all that Christ asks, that Christ be first, he realizes that he has to make Jesus Lord of his or her life, and that Jesus has a different value system than that of this world. He makes a choice, and he chooses pleasures over Christ. And so, you know, the number one industry in America is the entertainment industry, and it is going to be more and more that way in the 21st century. Why? Because people are obsessed with pleasure. They're obsessed with having a good time. And one of the reasons that they work, one of the reasons they thrive, and one of the reasons they have two or three jobs is so that they can afford more and more luxury and enjoy more of the pleasure that comes from material things. Jesus didn't say that it was wrong to have material things. He didn't say money was the root of all evil, but the Word of God teaches that the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of pleasure, the Bible talks about those who love pleasure more than they love God. And so, if you're going to find God's design, His plan for your life, you're going to have to choose the value system, not of this world, but the value system that God reveals in His holy scriptures. And I thank God. Secondly, He talks about that there are possessions. Because in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, Jesus gave a warning. This is the reason so much of Jesus' teaching had to do with the material things. It had to do with money. His teaching had to do with the relationship with material things and with money. And so Jesus says, beware. Don't always be wishing for what you don't have. Real life and real living are not related to how rich we are. What a relevant word to Christians in the 21st century living in an affluent culture today, because every day that we are pressed to esteem people on the basis of their possessions, the kind of car they drive, the kind of house they live in, the kind of clothes they wear, that is why men will go into a store and they will pay $40 more for a cotton shirt that has a little emblem on it. Why? It says, I am important. It says, I am somebody because I can afford this shirt with this little bitty emblem on it. Maybe it's an alligator. It may not be better than the shirt without the emblem, but it costs twice as much because we live in a world obsessed with possessions. Love not the world, Jesus said. Don't always be wishing for what you don't have. Don't esteem your net worth and your self-worth as being one in the same. Jesus says in his value system, your network and your self-worth have nothing to do with each other. You can have plenty in your purse, nothing in your person. And I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of people who, no matter how much they make, no matter how much they have, they feel like a failure on the inside. And so each and every one of us, as we go through life, amen, God says we need to be careful. Don't esteem your net worth and your self-worth as the same. Howard Hughes was asked one time, how much money does it take to satisfy? And he said, just a little bit more. The writer of Ecclesiastes said that if you love money, you'll never have enough. You will never be satisfied because you'll always want more. Many of us understand this because today we're struggling on the income that if we would have had 10 years ago, we'd have thought that we had it made. No matter how much that we have, we seem to struggle because our value system has to do with pleasure and it has to do with possessions. And so the value system of the world is prestige. The Bible talks in 1 John chapter 2 about the lust of the eyes and the boasting of what we have and don't have, prestige or position. Look at what it says in Psalms 49:18. Though a man calls himself happy, and although all through his life the world loudly applauds his success, and yet in the end he dies like everyone else. What is God really saying in 1 John chapter 2? What is he saying in Psalms 49:18? God is saying prestige, position, and the applause of men is temporal. In other words, it's going to pass. It's going to change. And we see this all the time in the realm of the sports world, how that this year's Super Bowl hero may be forgotten by the time next year comes around. We see stars come upon the scene and pass off the scene. We see it in every realm of life. Living for prestige, living to be somebody in the eyes of men, is not going to last. It is a fleeting, the Bible says. And so somebody said when man invented the mirror, he began to loose his soul because he began to be influenced by image rather than character. And so this morning, we're more concerned with our image than we are with what's on the inside. And the Bible says that the value system of the world, and it says, love not the world. Solomon had such wealth, power, and position. He had all three of these. He had possessions, he had pleasure, and he had position. And yet, he wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes that none of these things brought happiness. None of these things brought joy. His life was empty. Just think about the pleasure that he had. He had 300 wives, 700 concubines. I'm going to tell you, that's 300 mother-in-laws. How would you live to have that many? He had every pleasure that man could name, and yet he was empty. And when he came to the end of his life, I'm going to tell you something. His possessions, you could combine the 10 wealthiest men in the world, and Solomon had more wealth in his day than the 10 wealthiest men of the world today combined had. He had position. He was lord over a vast empire that ruled the world. Israel at that time was the most powerful nation on the face of the earth, the envy of all the nations of the world, the most prosperous, affluent nation that the world has ever known. And yet Solomon said, none of it satisfies. He said, I am not happy. It's meaningless. And that is what John was saying in 1 John chapter 2. He said, all of these worldly things, the sex, the ambition to buy everything that appeals to you, and the pride that comes from wealth and importance are not from God. And many of us as Christians are living by a value system that we didn't think up, that we didn't come up with as our own. But we're living with a value system that was forced on us by this old world out there. And that is what the Bible is saying, that if you want to live by divine design, you have to reject the value system of this world, and you have to decide for yourself the values by which you will live and the priorities that are important to you. And so I'm glad that each and every one of us, as we look and realize that we need to bring our lives in line with the values that we say are important to us. And that is the worth of our values, the cause of our values. But thirdly, we see the gift of our values, because here we see that evaluating what is important to us, Jesus said the end of his sermon on the mount, that these were the words. He says, "Therefore I say unto you that every person who hears these words of mine and does them, obeys them, is like a man who built his house upon the rock, and when the winds blew and when the floods descended and the storm came, that house stood because it was founded upon the rock." And so the Bible says you want a home that's going to last, a marriage that will last, a life that will last, something that can stand the storms and the stresses of life, and then build your life on my value system, on the words that I speak. Not only hear them, but do them. And he promises that our house will stand, our life will stand. And so we build by God's design. God's design says, first of all, build a good foundation. Builders tell me it doesn't matter how pretty what you put on top is, if it don't have a good foundation, it's not going to matter, because it's all going to come crumbling down anyway. And when the foundation is laid for the building, the tremendous amount of concrete and steel that went in to the foundation was phenomenal, because it's very important. And so I thank God. Somebody could have said that we could have saved a lot of money on the foundation. Well, we could have built it without a foundation. Just come out here and build it on the prairie, build it on the shifting clay and everything. Everybody knows that it won't last. It won't stand. You can't live by God's design unless you build on a strong foundation. And the foundation is values that you agree with, because they are God's values. You adopt them as your own. How do you do that? Number one, you evaluate what is important. The Bible says that we've got to choose to follow what is right. But first, we must define what is good. We have to define what God's standard of values are. We have to define what our definition of success is. Success, you see, is living life by the values that you decide are important and living in harmony with those values. It's not decided by how much you make, by what people say about you, or how important that you are. It's decided on whether or not you're living according to the values that are important to you. And you are true to those values. That's what real success is. Don't let culture, don't let Hollywood, don't let the liberal news media tell you what your values are. You decide for yourself the things that are important. That is number one. Ask yourself the question, will it last? That is the key perspective. Why is the perspective the key? The perspective is the key because you asked, will possessions last? Pleasure, will it last? You say, what's going to last? When you look at the things from an eternal perspective, you know that pleasure doesn't last. The Bible is honest. The Bible says that there is pleasure in sin for a season. Preachers like us used to try to convince people that there's no pleasure in sin. Listen, if there's no pleasure in sin, the devil wouldn't be out, he would be out of business. But the last time that I checked, his business is doing just fine. He's getting people in hell every day and deceiving them every single day. But God says that you'll get a high when you get a thrill, but it won't last. The Bible says when sin is finished, it brings forth death. The pleasure of sin never lasts, but the penalty of sin can last a long time. And so, what about possessions? Do they last? Well, I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You know, they have these suits down at the funeral home, and they're not like our suits that we wear. We buy in the store. They have suits, and the difference is they don't have any pockets in them. Why? Because you ain't going to need any. You aren't going to carry anything with you. Possessions don't last. One day, they will all go to somebody else, and it may go to somebody else or just waste away what you spent a lifetime to accumulate. Possessions don't last. Pleasures don't last. Pride's position doesn't last. And the only thing that is going to outlast these things is the things that last for eternity. And that is why Jesus said, why you want to work and gain the whole world and lose your own soul? look at things from an eternal perspective. But secondly, you need to eliminate what is not important. You can't read every book. You can only read those books that fit into your value system. You have to test everything and say, is it important enough to be on my calendar? But not everything that you're asked to do, can you do. You have to live by God's design. And if you live by divine design, then you have to evaluate everything in light of your values and your priorities that God has given to you. As for you and I, Christians, I tell you, People's Valley, it's very, very important that we look at what Paul said in Philippians 3:8. Everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Philippians 1:21, he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Everything else is worthless. Every minute spent that is not in God's will is a minute wasted, a minute gone. It is a minute that you would like to have back, but can never get back. So evaluate everything. Concentrate on eternal values, that which is important. Daily adjust your life to things that are going to last. And in 1 Corinthians 13:13, he says, there are three things that are going to last. He says, faith, hope, and love will last forever. And in Galatians 5:6, he says, the only thing worthwhile is faith expressing itself through love. Faith, hope, and love will endure forever. And these are the values by which we ought to live our lives. These are the values of the Word of God. The Bible says, he who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. You see, you don't get lasting pleasure by pursuing it. You get lasting pleasure by seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And God says all of these things will be added to you. Will you have pleasure? Yes. Will you have possessions? Yes. God will meet your needs. He says your barns will be filled with plenty. God says, I'm going to meet your needs if you honor me first. Listen, if you will put me first, if you will live your life on the values on which the Word of God is based, then all of these things will be added unto you. Now, if you were lost in an uncharted desert, what would you rather have to help you find your way out? A map of the city, a city phone book, or a compass that shows you north and which way north is? Well, God has given us a compass, and the 21st century is uncharted. But I thank God next week is uncharted. You have never been there before, but God has given us a compass. And the compass is the values that he says we ought to live our life by. And if we live our life by those values, God says we will find his divine design, and he knows the way. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. I know that he has a design for you and me. I would walk life's way with easy tread, and I would follow the comforts and the pleasures led till one day in a quiet place, I would meet the Master face to face. I don't believe I could look at him. I'd have to keep my head to the ground with station and rank and wealth for gold. But I'm going to tell you, but much of the thought for my body and none for my soul, I swore I would rule with an iron mace till I met the Master face to face. I would build my castles, rear them high till their towers pierced the blue of the sky. And I swore I would win life's mad race till I met the Master face to face. And I met him and knew him and blushed to see that his eyes full of sorrow were fixed on me. And I faltered and fell at his feet that day that my castles melted and vanished away, melted and vanished in their place. Nothing else could I see but the Master's face. I cried, oh God, make me meet to follow the steps of thy wounded feet. And I lost my life, but I found it again. And now my thoughts are for the souls of men. Ere since that day, in a quiet place, I met the Master face to face. Boy, what a powerful little rhyme story. The most important thing is to meet the Master and to follow the Master. And he will show you God's divine design in your life for each and every one of us. Amen. You need to determine your necessities. Amen. And to be able to do that, you determine the values that are important to you and bring you life in the harmony with those values. Amen. Lord, we ever don't want to miss the mark that you have for our lives by not living your way. Speak to our hearts about the plans that you have for our life that are causing us to go forward with a foundation on the Word of God. Help us to not miss that plan that you have for us. We don't want to assume that we're doing everything right. We don't want to live our life without asking you how. Because 1 John 3:24, he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given unto us. We asked in the name of Jesus.